we can help these people. We'll use that one too.
I've got an object on me. I want to know how long is it? How long is it, Joe?
Random guess. It's 3 inches.
Roger, how long is it?
Yeah, 18 inches.
Would you believe me, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Would you believe me if it's 18 inches and 15 or 16?
Take a look that it's 18 inches and 15-16, and that's what everybody will now agree to. And I'm going to take a look at these three anchors that we've got. When we take a look at the first thing, is that the first was really just guessing. He had no knowledge of what the object was. I still don't know what the object is. But it was guessing sight unseen. And isn't that the way a lot of times we do this too? We go and ask people different things. We might ask friends who aren't Christians at all about what they think about marriage, what they think about religion, what they think about different things, and they have no idea, but they're going to tell you what they think. That I can believe all this stuff, and this is good. This is great stuff. We find in Acts 17, in verses 22 through 23, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, and therefore ye ignorantly worship him, I declare unto you." Now, see, the Athenians, they had all these different gods and stuff out there. They made statues to them, and they had their followers, and they did different things, made sacrifices to them, and they went and did different things for them. But they wanted to make sure that they had everybody covered, so they built one to the unknown God. They had no comprehension of who this person was, or who this God was, what he was about, or anything like that, but they still built that, and they still did things like that. But today, people don't make decisions on religion. They have no idea, they don't know anything, and yet, as I said, you know, a lot of times, we'll go and ask people who are not religious, we'll ask people who are not godly, about, you know, important things in our life. What about marriage? You know, what should I do? We go, instead of going to God's Word, we go to the marriage counselor that says your happiness is important to you. You need to divorce her. And they have no idea what the scripture has to say. And so we have people that have no knowledge, no nothing. And when we take a look at the second column, things are a little bit closer. I mean, a couple people said 18 inches. If this was a price of right, both those people would be going up to the big board because they didn't go over to 18 and 15, 16. But 10 foot was way off. 21 was getting close to the line, but still went over. So the object was in view. So you had some knowledge of what it was. So when we take a look at Acts 18, verses 25 through 26, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and talked diligently in the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of God. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when a servant of Philip had heard, they took him under them and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. So we see that this individual knew some things about God. He had some knowledge. And he was out there teaching them. But it wasn't perfect knowledge yet. It wasn't perfect. So while he was probably close with 18 or 22 or 21, it still wasn't 18 and 15. It wasn't perfect. And so Priscilla and Aquila had pulled him aside to give him better knowledge. And in John 4, verses 19 and 20, says, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. You know, when we take a look at the woman had some knowledge. She had some biblical knowledge, but she didn't have the whole knowledge of what everything was meant. And so a lot of times, we'll go to people that may have some basic Bible knowledge. We may go to our Baptist friends. We may go to our friends who are Catholic. We may go to someone of some other faith, and we may ask them questions about stuff. But are we still going to get the right answer? Probably not. We may get some things that are close, but we can't guarantee you that what we're going to get is truly from the Word of God. And when I hold this up, this is the reason why you believe that this object here is 18, 15, 16 inches. You know why? What did you say it was? This is a standard. When you were in Red Horse and maybe one of the structures guys said, hey, get me a 2x4 and I want it 18 inches long. Would you just go and grab a 2x4 and bring it back? You'd probably measure it, wouldn't you? And certainly, yeah, twice. Measure twice, count one. Exactly. And so you use a standard to measure that box to make sure that it's correct. Who would go out and build a house or build something and not have this at all? I mean, my dad just this past month asked, he called me on the phone and said, how wide's your gate? And I said, I don't know, I'm not home. And he's wanting to go get some of my firewood I had cut. I said, you're welcome to get it. He goes, well, I don't know if my trailer can go through your gate. I said, well, call Phil up. So he called Phil up, my youngest son up. He said, go out and measure the gate. He just didn't say, Phil, how wide's the gate? So Phil took the gate measured it out, and gave him the dimensions, and my dad believed him because he measured it to a standard and went and got firewood because the trailer was fit through there. So when we take a look at religious truth, this is our standard. Not what I think, not what I feel, not what Rob says, not what I say, not what Cookie says or Gary says or anyone else. This is the standard. I mean, we can feel different things. We can read in here and we can say, well, I just don't believe. But this is the standard. Did any of you four, when I brought this up and said it, is 18 or 15, 16, say that I don't believe it? No. Because this is truth. And so when we go through and we talk about religious things, we need to go back to the book. We need to go back to the Bible. In Acts 17 and verses 10 and 11, it says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming with and went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." The Bereans were actually checking out to see if Paul and Silas was actually preaching the truth. I mean, they gave them references to the Old Testament so that they could go back and research it. If I just held this up again, wherever it went, and said, "Here, how long is it?" And I might even give it to you and feel it. But without this, you're not going to be able to check it out. You're not going to be able to know for sure how long this is. And so, again, you've got to go back to the standard. If people are telling you things religiously, this is where you need to go back to. Is it true? Is it right? In Ezra 10, we can take a look through throughout all of Ezra. We're studying Nehemiah, but in Ezra, in verse 2, we read there that from reading the book that they learned that they had sinned by taking strange wives. In verse 9, we find that they put away those strange wives and made an offering to God with a ram of the flock. We also find that the chief tabernacle was destroyed. The Passover was destroyed. Was it because somebody thought, "Hey, I remember doing something like that"? No, it's because they went back to the book and they read those things. They understood that they weren't following what the law had to say. They went back to the standard. In Matthew 4 and verses 1 through 11, we find the temptation of Paul. We know that the devil tempted him in three different ways. But what did Christ do to combat the devil? It is written. He came back to the standard to combat the devil. You know, the standard is something that we need to use to combat the devil. There are people who are out there that want to tempt us. They want to say, "You're happy. You deserve to be happy. You deserve this. You deserve this." We can combat false doctrine with the standard. And that, we find that Paul recognizes himself, tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15, "Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save yourself and them that hear you." Also in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, "All scriptures given is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works." It's by us following the standard that we can help lead others to Christ, that we can help lead others down the right path. Because if we're not following this, we all have influence. We all have influence. And there are going to be people who are going to follow us, whether we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. And if people are going to follow us, I would just as soon have people follow me going to the right place. So, do you believe the standard? And really, I probably should have told you what the lesson here is. I call this, how do we decide truth? How do we decide truth? Do we use the standard, or do we do it on gut feeling? Do you believe the standard? And there's a lot of people, because I take a look at Facebook, and I do have some of those religious things that I've liked, and you know, you get these scriptures that come out there, and you open up the thing, and I usually go through and read a few of the comments, and you know, you hear, "Amen, praise the Lord, God is great," and you know, most of these scriptures is just, you know, the good stuff, the good feeling stuff, you know? And so I go in there and I say, "Well, what about Matthew 19 and verse 9? What about, you know, some of the verses that talk about homosexuality? Some of the things that talk about some of the sins out there. Now what do you think about what God has to say? Now can you say amen?" And so when we take a look at the standard, do you believe the standard? When it talks about divorce and remarriage, when you take a look in Matthew 19 and look at verses 1 through 9. In verse 9 we find, "And I shall say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except if it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. How do you feel about that? That's the standard. That's the standard. And I can't change the standard. I didn't create the standard. Just like I can't change this standard here. I mean, you couldn't give millimeters, but still it comes out to the same thing. Whether you use millimeters or whether you use inches. Just like whether you read this in Spanish or whether you read it in English. It's the same standard. What about forgiveness? When we take a look at Matthew 6 and verses 14 and 15, when we read there, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, there's times that all of us have fallen at one point or another. And maybe sometimes our sin is greater, but do you forgive them of their sin? We can't just continue to punish people once they've come back to God. Once they've asked for forgiveness, we are obligated to forgive. That's what the standard says. We have to forgive people. In baptism, what do you think about baptism in Matthew 16 and verse 16? Where he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Or do you just read it, if I believe, I'm okay? We have to go back to the standard. What about Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 21? Where we read, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, division, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What will you do with the word? What will you do with these words? In other words, in Matthew 19, you go back there and read verses 16 through 22, we have an example of what's going to do with Christ's word. And beheld, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What ought I do? And Jesus said unto him, if thou would be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So we find what an individual did with the word of God. He walked away. So what would you do with that word of God tonight? You know, we recognize the driver's manual as the standard that we have to drive by. And I mean, this South Carolina has a standard that's different from Indiana. You need to go through and you need to take a look at the driving thing. Because I'll tell you what, in Indiana, I don't have to have insurance policies in my car. That's a law here. I have to abide by that law. We recognize the Constitution as the standard of law. So law is so hard about recognizing that this is the standard of law. So if you're here tonight and have not become a Christian, you know, what keeps you from doing that? You know, that's what the Unitone Pope doing. He said, there's water. What hindrance thing for being baptized? And Philip said that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you pass that test. You pass that standard. You're able to be baptized. And if you're here tonight and you are a Christian, and you haven't been living according to the standard, if you haven't been doing the things you need to do to be that good example, you have the opportunity to go to God and ask for forgiveness. And if it's a public sin, then you need to also confess that publicly. So if there's anything that we can do for you tonight, please come and stand with us.